You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
We are indeed speaking with Jamie Lee Ross of Te Rōpū Nahi Nāra, the National Party. Kia ora, Jamie Lee, how are you?
Hey, Kelly, good to be with you again.
Exactly right. How is your week been so far?
Oh, pretty busy. The election campaign still going.
I'm sure it is.
Only a week to go. Have you voted yet?
I have not voted yet. I usually make a bit of an event out of the September 23rd when I go and vote with my family.
I think people should get out and vote early, though. There's heaps of advanced polling booths around, and I think there's one at the university too. But certainly in my electorate, there's quite a few.
There is indeed one at the university. Have you voted yourself?
I did. I went and voted on the first day. Did a nice video. Put it on my Facebook page.
Can I ask who you voted for? Is that...
Hey, it's all secret, Kelly.
No, good on you. Exactly right. It is. It is indeed.
Have I managed to convince you yet that, you know, the National Party would be nice and friendly and good people?
Oh, look, I'm a journalist. Like I said, neutral, always neutral. So today we're chatting Hora, health and wellbeing. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the collective health spending of the government in the last little while. For the next 3 years of that, if you guys are re-elected into government, what would be your vision for health in New Zealand? And is health funding a true priority for you guys?
Well, health, along with the likes of education and law and order, it's a big part of what governments increase spending by every year. And every year we have been increasing health spending. We've increased it by about 45% since we've been in government. It's now sitting at $16 billion. What that means is we're able to do a whole lot more than what governments were previously doing. So, for example, I think one of the really cool things about what we've done recently is we're now delivering free GP and prescriptions for under-13s. We're seeing a whole lot more elective surgeries taking place. But the elective surgery numbers have increased from about 120,000 a year to 170, and we reckon we can get that to another 200,000 per year. In a couple of years' time. We're also seeing hospitals admitting people and dealing with people in emergency departments a lot faster. So 94% of ED patients are seen and discharged within 6 hours. And another really cool thing we're able to do in the health system was to deliver that pay equity settlement for care and support workers, which, whilst not relating to a hospital specifically, it's still an important part of the health system, and delivering that pay equity settlement was pretty important for us in the last year. So, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, so the Commonwealth Fund monitors that monitor developed economies. Within those 11 countries, New Zealand ranks the lowest in amount of spending on health, and we have the cheapest health system per capita. So I'm wanting to know if National is planning on putting more funding into health, as this is quite a shocking statistic, I think, for many of us.
Yes, we are. I don't have an exact number for you, but I can talk to you about track record. And as I said, the health budget was $11 billion when we came into office. It's increased by 45% to $16 billion. But more importantly, delivering more services for New Zealanders. I don't think you can just look at the number and decide whether government's doing enough or not. Are more people getting access to surgeries? Yes. Are more kids getting immunised? Yes. Are more kids getting access to cheap doctor's visits? Absolutely. Are more people getting seen and dealt with and going through the hospital system efficiently? Yes, they are. So we're delivering more services for New Zealanders. And I think often in election campaigns we just talk big numbers, but I think New Zealanders actually are more interested in what they're getting. And so, you know, for example, I held a public meeting a few months ago, and someone put their hand up and said, oh, I wasn't happy with my treatment at the hospital, it wasn't done fast enough and it's not good enough. And I answered it, and then the person pushed back again. And then the audience started putting their hands up, and someone said, well, I just had my knee replaced, and it was really good. And someone else said, yeah, my child went to ED a couple of months ago, and it was dealt with really fast. And a few people were putting their hands up and giving real experiences where they've had better service through the health system. And so with more doctor's visits, more immunisations, more surgeries, we are delivering better public services for New Zealanders in the health system. And that's worth looking at too.
Do you think that there needs to be more of a targeted approach on health in terms of, you know, we've got 29% of children in poverty as classified by the Child Poverty Monitor. And do you think there needs to be... a target on those that are more disadvantaged rather than, a collective spending?
Well, there is. You know, children are the priority with the health system. And delivering free GP visits for under 13 has been an important thing that we've done. We lifted it from, it was free visits for under 6s, now it's for under 13s. And there's going to be more increases in spending. Immunisation rates have lifted very quickly as well. And we're up in the mid-90s now for immunisation rates, whereas 9 years ago, only two-thirds of kids were being immunised. And getting an immunisation is going to be hugely beneficial for children. When it comes to those that are in poverty, I know this is diverging a bit from health, but those that family incomes package that we're planning on, that we have legislated to deliver on the 1st of April, that will help people a large amount by delivering them more money in their pockets so they can get better access to services that they need. It's election season, so I'll let you know. Yeah, the Labor Party's planning on cancelling those tax cuts for those people. Those are people that would be assisted, and they'll have more money in their pockets to be able to do things like get better services for their children, to be able to put food on the table. So it's not just about health spending, it's about delivering more services, about helping people across the board. And I think you will see more and more the health budget continuing to increase every year, and areas in which we can deliver more services we'll put more funding into.
So these services that you're talking about, I think there is sort of a parties like Opportunities Party who are wanting to focus more on prevention rather than just treatment, because currently we only have about 3% of all health spending that's on targeted prevention. Do you think something like the approach that Opportunities is taking by increasing a tax on things like alcohol or junk food, do you think that there needs to be more money put into prevention?
Well, firstly, I don't tend to follow the Opportunity Party policies much. They're unlikely to get into Parliament or have any influence. Just throwing taxes on things, it's inefficient and it's hard to administer. And you have a whole lot of bureaucrats sitting there making decisions on what is healthy food and what is not. We already have taxes on food anyway. It's called GST. On a prevention basis, the best thing you can do to help children from a prevention perspective is to get them immunised. 2007, 67% of kids were being immunised. That's now lifted to 93%. We also know that if a child in a family is able to get access to their doctor cheaply and efficiently, then they will be. That's a prevention mechanism too, because it means there are fewer presentations at a hospital. So by delivering free GP visits for under 13, that means more families are able to access their local doctor, which means you're not having to go to the hospital. Because, you know, if you're a family and you're struggling and you're living on the line and you need to get health treatment for your child, if you can't get to the doctor cheaply because there wasn't free visits before, then an easier option is to go to the emergency department. By reducing the number of people going to an emergency department, you don't just save taxpayer dollars, you actually get better outcomes for people, because people are better dealt with by their local GP in the early stages. That is prevention in and of itself. And so by having people getting access to the health system more cheaply and earlier on, it's a prevention mechanism anyway. Doesn't just save taxpayer dollars, it gets better outcomes for people too.
So if we're moving into mental health, National has said policy-wise that they are going to put in 17 initiatives and $100 million for mental health over 4 years with a focus on prevention. What sort of tangible changes or services might we see if you are re-elected?
Well, firstly, mental health is an area which I think everyone would agree we need to do better at, and the government's accepted that. Mental health spending is sitting at about $1.4 billion at the moment, and in the last budget we set aside another $250 million of increased spending for mental health. $100 million of that was for what we're calling a social investment approach to mental health. We need to try and change the way we do mental health. We need to find new opportunities where we can take a prevention approach, try and get in earlier in people's lives. And so there's a $100 million fund that's been set aside with 17 new initiatives, which are aimed towards finding new ways and working with the community on mental health initiatives. So, for example, there's a schools package which sits there, which is about putting money into several programs focused on strengthening the work we do in schools and for young people. There's more funding going into distance and e-therapy, which is, you know, around technology, which can play a huge part in delivering tailored and convenient care options for people. We also want to work on more initiatives where we go and look at some of the international evidence, work out what we can do through adapting programs, trialing new things, to try and find new ways to approach mental health service provision.
Do you think that $100 million is enough? I mean, we've got $267 million spent on electrifying rail. Do you think $100 million, which is less than half of that, is enough for people's well-being?
Oh, Kelly, you can't just take one thing government's doing and then compare it to another.
Well, I feel like I can because, you know, this is people that we're talking about. This is our citizens. And then we've got $267 million being spent on a rail service, which seems...
Yeah, but then you can go, there's $267 million spent on a rail and $16 billion spent on health. I mean, you can't just take numbers and throw them and compare them because they're not comparable.
Well, when we have mental disorders as the third leading cause of health loss in New Zealand, that seems... probably more important.
Mental health is an important part of what we need to invest more money into. There's $1.4 billion in the last budget that went into mental health and addiction services, and we've increased that this year by another quarter of a billion. $100 million is sitting there for new and innovative approaches to mental health, which when they prove successful, we will be able to roll them out more and put more funding into them. I guess you could kind of say of the extra 230 odd million that's been put aside for new mental health spending, 100 of that is put towards programs which are effectively trying to find new ways, which when they work, they will get funded more and more into the future. So it's not as if we're saying 100 million is all that's there. It's about finding new and innovative ways that will work. If they work, then we'll invest in them even more. I think this extra funding in mental health, it's more additional mental health funding than any government's ever done before. It is something which we need to invest in more and do a better job on. And I'm hopeful that future ministers of health will be pushing as hard as they can to get more budget allocation for mental health. It is important and we need to do better on it.
So moving into our focus of the day, in terms of health, we're talking about drug policy. So there's quite a mood for drug reform in New Zealand, and most parties being quite vocal about their stance on that. But you and Labour are staying reasonably quiet, I suppose, and relatively conservative. I guess I wanted to know in simple terms what National thinks of the legalisation and regulation of cannabis.
Well, from an MP's perspective, whether cannabis was to be legalised, it'd probably end up as a conscience vote decision. I'm of the view that I can't see the merits personally, and I haven't been convinced that there's a lot of merit in legalising cannabis. From a medicinal point of view, I have to say I'm more open-minded, and if there was a conscience vote on medicinal use of cannabis, then I'd be seriously looking at it and giving consideration to whether I'd vote in favour. I'd want to know that there was constraint around it and that it was being made available for medicinal reasons. And the reason I say that is, you know, Julianne Genta has a bill that was drawn from the ballot. My understanding of that bill is, whilst it says it would make it easier for those wanting to use cannabis for medicinal reasons, it would also open up a big hole in the legislation, which would allow effectively people to set up their own cannabis farm if they had a medical condition requiring it. I think it needs to be tighter than that. From a current practice perspective, we've now made changes to the way in which approvals for cannabis-based medicines get approved through the system. Rather than politicians making decisions on approvals now, it's done by the Ministry of Health. So rather than political decisions being made around cannabis-based products for health purposes, it's now made by medical professionals taking a health approach to it, and I think that's the way it should be.
So we have increased taking on that idea of, you know, not putting it into politicians' hands and sort of having it as more of a public discussion, I suppose. There was a Curia market research poll last year that said 64% of Kiwis agree with decriminalising cannabis. So why don't you think that this is being listened to, or that the policy is being reflected in the public opinion?
Because you don't make laws based on an opinion poll of a few hundred people. You make laws based on evidence, and you make laws based on a lot of research. And the approach and the evidence-based approach that the government's been taking is that products that should be made available for treatment of health issues that are cannabis-based. They should be decisions made from a health perspective by health professionals rather than politicians. If you go down to the next step around changing laws to allow medicinal cannabis, I've yet to see a proposal there which has sufficiently tight constraints but also makes medicinal cannabis available. If there was a conscience vote issue, me personally as a Member of Parliament, I'm open-minded to considering it. Straight legalisation, though, our party is opposed to that, and if there was a conscience vote, I'm pretty sure all of our MPs would be opposed to straight legalisation of cannabis. I don't think the argument's been made that legalisation would be beneficial for the country.
So finally, many support the idea that drug use should be seen as a health issue rather than a criminal issue, and potentially punishment should be dealt with accordingly in that sense. Do you support that view, or does National support that view?
I think more and more you're seeing governments and governments that are both red and blue deal with drug issues from a health perspective. It's, you know, it's not like the 70s and 80s where you just lock people up. But you have to be realistic about it. I mean, methamphetamine use, the gangs are pushing this in a large way. You can't just take a health perspective to an issue where gangs are pushing a nasty, nasty drug onto people. So you have to take a law and order approach as well as a medical approach. So where gangs are involved, where there are criminal elements which are pushing drugs, you have to take a hardline approach. You have to get involved and you have to use the police. So I don't think you can just say it's a binary decision, health approach or law and order approach. You need to consider both elements of it. People that have drug addiction that are genuinely suffering and need help, yes, you should take a health approach. Nasty gangs and other people which are pushing drugs into the community, you absolutely take a law and order approach and you deal with them in a harsh way.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your time, Jamie Lee. And next time we talk to you, it'll be almost
the day D-Day. Before.
Exactly. Very exciting. So good luck for the next week. I'm sure it'll be very busy for you.
Cheers, Kelly. Take care.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.